الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال تعالى في قرآن مجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. خلق الإنسان ضعيفا. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصلاة إمعاد الدين، فمن أقامها أقام الدين، فمن تركها فقد حدم الدين، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected علماء الكرام, brothers in Islam, Allah Rabbul Izzat has blessed us with Iman. And Iman is the most important thing. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they fully well understood that Iman is the facet or that quality to be developed. And upon developing that quality of Iman, Sahaba were able to rule the world. Any organization or movement which does not direct its efforts towards Iman, strengthening of Iman, and uplifting of Iman, or creating vigor and valor in Iman, then that organization is going in the wrong direction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand this fact. Therefore, every effort and energy should be directed towards upliftment of Iman. Basically, there were two types of countries, Darul Harb and Darul Islam. Darul Islam, wherein Islamic law was enforced, or wherein Islamic law was given preference, or wherein Islamic law was stipulated in the constitution, wherein a person could behave and live freely under Islamic law, Muslim and non-Muslim. Then came Darul Harb, where the government was non-Islamic, unjust, and the law of the kuffar and the law of the non-Muslim was prevalent, or in action or in execution. As fiqh jurisprudence developed, then laws for these countries, these two types of countries basically, were stipulated. And the ulama ikram of the various ages advised and admonished the various rulers. For example, the student of Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, Qazi Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi, he wrote Kitab al-Khiraj, a par excellent book concerning politics and socials, and advising from the start to the end Khalif Harun al-Rashid how to govern his country. Imam Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi, the Qazi of that area, advised his ruler on his request how to rule that country and how to go about treating various strata of people of various communities. But as time progressed and as jurisprudence, the science of jurisprudence progressed, there were not only two dars left, not only two classifications or categories left. So before we had Darul Islam or Darul Kufr, now we have got Darul Aman, Darul Kufr, Darul Harb, Darul Fasad, and some other scholars have classified it even further. For example, Darul Fasad, whether it be an Islamic so-called country or non-Islamic, whether it is stipulated in the constitution of that country that we are going to rule by the Islamic law, but in that country, or a non-Islamic country, in that country where there is chaos, apathy, confusion, riot, strife, and the people are in a state of mutiny, murdering, looting, all these things are going on. Then Darul Aman, that country where a Muslim in a non-Muslim country, where the ruler is just. For example, during the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Abyssinian ruler, Najashi, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requested the Sahaba, or instructed the Sahaba that go to the Abyssinia, Ethiopia. The ruler there is just, the Christian ruler, go there. So in our international globe, those areas which are ruled by kuffar, and if they are just, then the Muslim is able to behave there and perform his duties and express himself fully as a Muslim, then we classify that area as Darul Aman. And Darul Kufr, that government or that ruling party which rules over the people oppressively, suppressing the people's opinion and in a tyrannical fashion, and exploiting the basic necessities of the people and spreading kufr and shirk via the medias. Propagating, the government uses all the propagating media, the television, the radio, the news magazine, everything against the Muslim. Uttering now the blasphemous statements contrary to the spirit and flow of Islam. A Muslim is always looking for peace, let alone a Muslim, any person on earth at this moment in time, any color, they are looking for peace. Peace and tranquility and comfort and ease. This is the desire of the human being. Allah Rabbul Izzat has blessed Islam, has blessed us with Islam, which is practical and which is a deen al-fitrah, which is natural. Man is a social being. You cannot isolate man. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La Rabbaniya fi deen, that there is no monotheism in deen, meaning that you don't take a person and put him away like a monk or a nun and then expect him to be living a practical, wholesome life. To such an extent that ulama ikram have written that a person who is in the state of i'tikaf, in Ramzan, brothers perform i'tikaf, then in that state also ulama ikram have written that the wife, if she is clad properly in parada, etc., and if she visits her husband who is in i'tikaf, there is nothing wrong with that. Why? Because Islam is deen al-fitrah, it is a natural deen. That is why we have got these various institutes of marriage, etc. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us faculties and He also tells us how to control them and where we must utilize them. So, Allah Rabbul Izzat has blessed us with this deen, and today I will explain to you quickly, try to skim over five basic principles. Any person who looks at these five basic principles, he will be able to make various deductions. Deductions I will make indications towards. These five principles, if they are found in a country, that country will run smoothly. And if these five principles are not found in that country is going to fall. The rise of nations depend on these five principles. And these five principles are applicable to Muslim nations and non-Muslim nations. Number one, the protection of life. Allah Rabbul Izzat in Surah Maidah states that if a person kills another person unjustly, then it is as if to say he has killed everybody. Because of this, Islam stresses that a person's life, property, his blood, his honor, his dignity must be protected. And the state must see that this is protected. And the Muslims themselves, when they, in their behavior, in their conduct, in their life pattern, they must see that they are protecting each other's blood, honor, dignity. When we have this principle, then murder, assassination, stabbing, killing each other, all these things will come to an end. And when capital punishment is given upon the murderer, upon the assassin, upon the person who is causing strife and confusion and chaos amongst the people, and when control from the government side is upon those people who are murdering people and butchering people and killing them mercilessly, then that area will attain or obtain some peace. Second principle being protection of property. The law is very simple, that the hand of the thief if the thief is proven guilty, when he's proven guilty, we'll chop off. MaazAllah, Allah forbid, that this is no barbaric law. This is a natural law. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what will make us move in certain directions. And when this law is applied, that if you have to cut the hand of the thief, at the rogue, at the person who's looting, then dacoitry, looting, stealing, bank robberies, petty theft, pickpocketing, from the minor theft to the major theft, all will come under control. The Western world does not understand this. Those of you who have been for Hajj have seen this in action and display. That one law you will see, which enables the shopkeeper to leave his shop with all his valuables and to go out for Salah, which will enable you as an individual, as a foreigner in that country, because that law of cutting hair is implemented there, it will leave you as an individual to leave your stuff, to leave your luggage and move around freely. We have done it, and many of you must have done it. Why? Because that law is prevalent. And today, with all this sophisticated equipment in your car, still we have, for example, in Johannesburg, in every 3 seconds one car stolen. If we bring Islamic law, inshallah that problem will get solved. The other thing is the protection of intelligence. It is stated and stipulated that the person who is a drunkard, he must be flogged. Once we implement this law, or when we enforce this law, and we understand this law, then automatically alcoholism will stop, drug trafficking will stop, peddling will stop, smuggling will stop, mandrakes will stop, LSD will stop, the evils of these drugs will terminate, then liquor will stop, these shibirs will come to an end and close. So all these areas, all these spots from where evil of the society is perpetrated will terminate. That is, provided we bring iman upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the law of Sharia, and we believe firmly as Sahaba believe without questioning that the law of Islam is final, and the law of Islam is divine, and the law of Islam is for our benefit. The other rule is protection of life, or protection of property, progeny. Islamic law stipulates that fornication is haram, zina is haram, adultery is haram, and the non-married culprit must be flogged, and the married one should be stoned to death. Now when we apply that law, then inshallah, adultery will stop, intermingling of sexes will stop, pornography will stop, nudity will stop, dancing will stop, blue flips will stop, tabarees will stop, matrix dance balls will come to an end, wife swapping will stop, illegitimate children will stop coming. Well, the Islamic law is coming now. Provided we bring iman on these laws. The fifth principle is very simple, that protection of deen. Islamic jurisprudence states, Islamic law states, that a murtad should be executed. A person who renounces Islam should be executed. A person who denounces Islam should be executed. A person who renegates should be executed. When this law is applied, then any blasphemous statement or writing, that person will refrain from. No one will claim that his authority in Islam will begin to say what he wants to say, when he wants to say, how he wants to say. Because he knows that the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been enforced and will be executed upon him. Therefore, he'll control his tongue, his pen. And when you control his tongue and his pen, and you limit it according to the boundaries stipulated by Islam, then you develop a good society. Remember, a person who utters a blasphemous statement in an Islamic country is not immediately executed. He is brought to court. His statements are read before him. He is given a chance to repent. is given a chance to explain himself. And when he is stubborn upon his view, then the law comes upon him. So if any locality, if in any area of any country, if you have these five principles which encompass the whole of Sharia, protection of property, protection of life, protection of deen, protection of progeny, then that community will run smoothly. That country will run smoothly, that locality will run smoothly. And no sooner if any individual, if any Muslim realizes that in his locality he can't stay safely, he can't behave safely, he can't move safely, his children are at stake, his wife is at stake, his deen is at stake, his property is at stake, there is no protection of property, there is no protection of progeny, there is no protection of deen, there is no protection of life, then he must decide to move away from that area. Certain people pose these questions, two, three of them, that should we leave this country? Should we take our money from this country? Should we put our foot outside this country? Then every individual should look at these five principles and decide where our country is going to, what is happening to our country, and then you'll be able to easily come to a conclusion what you must do. Any country of the world, if you are to judge that country, whether it is good for us to stay there, or whether it is bad for us to stay there, whether our presence there is detrimental to Islam, whether our presence there is detrimental to my children or my family, then we look at these five principles: protection of property, protection of life, protection of progeny, and one fifth principle which I failed to mention was protection of intellect. Protection of intellect will mean that alcoholism, etc., will come to an end. So when we have these five principles in us, and if we can bring these five principles in us, in our own family, in our own locality, in our own society, then that society will be a good society to live in, if these five principles are prevalent. And once these five principles are been shattered, or have been shaken, or you cannot walk safely and talk safely, or you cannot move safely, and you cannot buy and sell safely, or you're children are at stake and property at stake, then that country is not a country to be stayed in. That is why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he instructed the Sahaba Ikram, go to Abyssinia, and that is why the whole hijrah, that is why the whole migration took place, why when these five principles were at stake, and when these five principles were shaken, and it was not safe to go in Mecca, then the order came, now go to Medina. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us, as in any country, a rider, and in any country where these five principles are at stake and are shattered, then that country is detested to stay in, and that country is despised, and that country should be admonished to change its policy.